Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Peace World Radio. Vibrant conversations to change the world with Christina Jans is an energetic, vibrant, and engaging show that's getting people talking. Christina brings you extraordinary and courageous people, bold in thought and action, who are using their lives to raise the frequency of our world. Here you will meet authors, actors, scientists, activists, and so many more who dare to dream that things can be different, who think beyond what they were taught and have the courage to not settle. If you too believe that a world of peace is possible and have been looking for inspiration to become part of this extraordinary step in the evolution of humanity, then you're in the right place, because that's what Peace World Radio is all about. Peace World Radio. Join the talk the world is having. Now here is your host, Christina Jans.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. I'm so happy to be spending time with you today. If my voice sounds a little crackly to you, it is not your radio connection. It's due to the fact that in the area of Canada where I live, we are being hit with an unusually active allergy season. So I am one of the many who is showing signs of allergy symptoms this year. So that's the reason for my funny, crackling voice today. Today we're going to be talking about the spiritual journey. When you think of being on a spiritual journey, do you envision yourself seated in uninterrupted, peaceful silence away from the demands of daily life, schedules, cell phones, text messages, and simply existing in pure tranquility? Well, to be sure, experiences like these are wonderful and beautiful, and wouldn't it be lovely to live in such an uninterrupted, peaceful world all the time? But that's not reality, is it? Our lives tick along day to day, filled with daily routines of obligations to ourselves and others. And if we're being completely honest here, you know, with some days being a whole lot easier than others, I've always believed that if I am to truly walk this path where my life itself is my spiritual journey, then it needs to be lived moment to moment throughout my day, and not simply when I have time to sit quietly in a tranquil environment. And to this effect, I hold as true north on my internal compass the thought that when I am as still, loving, peaceful, and connected to the divine while taking out the garbage or scooping up after my dogs, as I am while in meditation, then I know I'm pointed in the right direction. As you know, that this is pretty challenging. This can be quite challenging. And so I'm delighted to tell you that today I have someone here who is going to be speaking to us about this very topic. My special guest is Mary Hayes Greco, and she is the director of the Midwest Institute for Forgiveness Training. She was a featured speaker at the Nobel Peace Prize Forum of 2005, and she is the author of a precious book called The New Kitchen Mystic. Mary says that there's no such thing as an ordinary moment, and that whether you are washing dishes, driving to work, or raking leaves, or, you know, like me, scooping up after your dogs, the potential for personal growth is ever present. She's going to be telling us how we can create a deeply meaningful spiritual practice that can be lived every day, moment to moment. And as well, we are going to be discussing some of the key points that come up on this extraordinary journey. Welcome to Peace World Radio, Mary. It is so good to have you here today.
Hi, Christina. It's great to be here.
Good. I love your book, The New Kitchen Mystic. Now, can you tell our listeners what kitchen mysticism is, and who are the kitchen mystics? How would somebody know if they are a kitchen mystic?
A kitchen mystic is someone who finds themselves periodically just stopping in a moment of bliss over something beautiful and special, maybe just to them. Maybe it's you know, the wag of their dog's tail, or a certain color in the sky at sunset. And a kitchen mystic is someone who's in active, everyday conversation with the divine in ordinary life. So a mystic would be able to, at some point in the day, just sink into this exact experience and say, thank you for this exact experience, because kitchen mystics are people who realize that we're in school all the time in our lives, and that our situations that we find ourselves in are our classrooms and our laboratories, and the people around us are our teachers.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And you say that the divine is always hiding clues and love letters for us in our daily life. I love that. How are some of the ways that you've experienced this?
Well, one of the things that happens to me is sometimes I wake up in the morning with a song playing in my head. It's just there. It's some song from 2 decades ago, and why is this song playing in my head? And after I'm walking around for a couple of hours in the morning, I think, what is that song in my head? And if I stop and pause and listen to it, the title is giving me a message. The title is just something very practical that I need to, pay attention to. Like, for instance, one time I was hearing the song Jackson Browne's Running on Empty playing in my head. Running on empty, and I thought, why does that keep... Oh, I'm so tired. I was really not paying attention to how tired I am today, and I need to pause and to fill up. So that's one of the ways. I would say that if you have made friends with your intuition and you realize that your intuition is frequently giving you little messages, whether it's a song in your head or a picture in your mind or a persistent feeling in your heart about something, that's the way that that God is speaking to us through our intuition.
Mm-hmm. And you just mentioned pausing, and I'm wondering what your thoughts are as to how important it is for us to pause, not only in the course of a busy day and a busy week, but pausing long enough just to hear those messages, to receive those love letters from the divine. How important is that to make time to pause?
I think it's super important. I think, in fact, somebody asked Oprah after her 25 years of tenure what her best advice was. Out of all of the experts, out of all of the programs and topics, what is her single best piece of advice? She said, have 15 minutes of silence each day. That's
mm-hmm.
what she synthesized after so many years of hanging out with experts in spiritual growth. 15 minutes of silence to feel yourself, listen to yourself. And, we're familiar with the practices of prayer and meditation and scripture reading as spiritual practices. But there's also an ancient spiritual practice in all traditions, and we call it contemplation. And that's basically where you sit and you let the thoughts bubble through, and you just connect with your heart and look at what you look at and let things come along that need to be in your awareness. And I have a favorite chair that's in front of a picture window with a beautiful tree outside, and I sit there every day, and I just sit there and contemplate. Yeah, maybe 15 minutes. I would say that is kind of my minimum daily requirement.
Yes.
But if I do that, then I'm just a better me the rest of the time.
It makes so much sense to me what you're saying, because, I think to myself, if we were to look at a page in a book of writing, and we took out all the commas and the periods, we would just have this cacophony of noise, of words, that it's the pauses, the commas and the periods that actually, those pauses that give meaning to the words that are written. So how could it be any different in our lives itself?
Yes, that makes sense.
Yeah. And yet I think, given that we are sort of a culture that go, 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 and so many things to do, and just running here and there, and most people seem to be living that way, that doing something as simple as just sitting down and being still in contemplation, it might be more difficult for some than others, do you think?
Well, it might be, because I think, like you said, the culture is all around us, and our culture is kind of a warrior, winner type, glamour-driven culture. So it's all about being faster and brighter and sharper and smarter and all richer and, beautiful in this way and that sort of thing. But who can keep up with it? And I like to think of it as that we need to be mindful always of the in-breath and the out-breath, even mm-hmm. just the in-breath and the out-breath of life. And we can't just go around exhaling for 24 hours. You just can't. You have got to pause and inhale. You have to pause and take in, softly, calmly, what is here, what is, we could call it presence. And I'm just really excited about all of the books and programs and teachers in the last 15 years or so that have been about mindfulness and presence and just being here, being in awareness. I think it's really a very good medicine that our culture needs.
Yes, and good timing for where we are in the world now. We are going to pause for a quick break, and when we come back, we are going to be exploring more kitchen mysticism with Mary Hayes Greco. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Vladimir Gerasichev, the creator of the Keep Your Word Project. When it comes to promises, there are two different games we play. First, we tend to make promises only when it's comfortable or easy to do. If I feel like it, I'll do it. The other game is not to make promises at all, but still somehow do what you never truly promised to do. But a totally different game is when you first declare your word and then keep it. Think of Keep Your Word as a tool. When you give your word, you create a possibility to keep your word. So keeping your word becomes a way to create an extraordinary future, something that wouldn't happen on its own. I've developed keepyourword.com and a special iPhone app to make keeping your word even easier. Check out the site or download the app. Keeping your word every day can change your life forever.
Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Laura Longley is on a mission to remove stuckness from your life for good and replace it with happiness. Tune in Mondays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, and Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for The Laura Longley Show, where authentic change takes flight. Say yes to that inspired you and goodbye to your stuckness as Laura and her guests deliver powerful ways to work through common problems in this fun and unique hit show.
Hi, this is Dr. Pat. Do you want to know what heaven is really like? Well, if there are pearly gates and angels all around? Well, join me and countless others in Seattle on June 14th as Dr. Eben Alexander, author of the New York Times bestseller Proof of Heaven, A Neurosurgeon's Journey into the Afterlife, shares his transformative experience, profound lessons, and the complete revision of everything he has come to believe about science, consciousness, spirituality, and the very nature of all existence. Get your tickets today and join us as we welcome Dr. Alexander to Seattle for the first time. Oh, and if you are into really cool experiential workshops, he is one of those too. So please visit thedrpatshow.com, click on the picture or the link, and register. Friday, June 14th, Seattle at the Center for Spiritual Living. And you know what? Let's all of us take a closer look at what it means to have proof of heaven.
Past 2 decades, I have heard more and more people say, I am spiritual but not religious. Do you see a distinction between the two? And if so, what do you think that's about?
I really do. And I think it's a good distinction to have for a lot of people. And one of the first pieces I wrote in The Kitchen Mystic was about the difference between spirituality and religion. And yeah, I guess they say these days in America, it's almost 20% of people that are describing themselves as spiritual but not religious, not affiliated with a church. And with people under 30, it's like 30%. So it's a growing population. The difference between them essentially is that spirituality is a state of being and awareness, and religion is a container for community and spiritual practice that has certain prescribed beliefs and rules and practices to it. So it's really possible to be a spiritual person and never go to church, because you are walking certain qualities in your life. You're intentional, you're in service, you're generous, you're joyful, you're sharing, you are bringing the best of yourself to each day. And maybe you have some kind of self-made practices that help you remain happy and mindful. And being religious is where you are signing up to a group experience. You're saying, yes, I'm a Christian, I'm a Hindu, I'm a Muslim. Therefore, I follow the teachings of Jesus, of Muhammad. I follow this calendar year in the church cycle. I participate with these rituals. I try and live these principles. And I share my life with people that are doing that specific thing. So, but it's entirely possible to be a religious person and be mean and closed-hearted and despicable in your behavior. But you quote the Bible in 1 second and hurt someone's feelings the next second. And so that would be a way of being religious but not spiritual. So I think it's really kind of glorious when it's together, when you are religious person that is really doing your work, really doing your personal work, so that you're shining your soul's light.
Yes. Yeah, that's a beautiful way of describing it. Now, you mentioned, our true nature as human beings, as loving, peaceful, creative people, and that I think that the challenges that we face to that often come down to, if we can put it in one way, fear or fear-based beliefs. Mm-hmm. How do you recommend that we return to our true nature when we are challenged, when we don't want to respond from our fear-based beliefs? How do you recommend that we do that? What's worked well for you?
Well, the first thing I do is I've gotten to know myself over time. And in my understanding of life, I am both a soul whose nature is love and peace and creativity, and a personality who has grown up in a certain family and time and had certain hurtful experiences and developed certain negative beliefs about life. And I see my soul and my personal self as working together as partners, so that I take the time to connect with my soul the way we talked about before, with contemplation and with meditation. And I've gotten to know my personality's fears. These are my set of fears, and these are my particular little addictions, and these are my cravings and desires. And so you have to kind of get to know yourself. And it's sort of like a polishing the stone act, where in connecting with your soul's peaceful energy, because the soul is always in the heart of God, then you can bring some of that knowledge and awareness to bear on your personal challenges and to do some work. And I guess there's a number of practices, but my very favorite one has been forgiveness, to be able to take parts of myself that I'm not crazy about, or expressions of other people that I would want to judge and be stressed about, to take those things into the practice of forgiveness and learn how to really love everyone and everything the way they are.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's been, and that's an active thing. It's not something you just think. You don't think, oh, okay, I forgive them. No, you take a minute, you take some time, you get your determination together, you see what your feelings are and you get some of them out, you look at what your expectations have been and you release them. You open up to life to set you straight in a new way and give you what you need. You restore your boundaries. There's all these parts and pieces to the experience of forgiveness that help us to live masterfully day by day.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. I'm thinking as well of the different forms that our teachers enter our lives. Wouldn't it be lovely if our teachers on this journey were always gentle, loving beings that were, forgiving to us for the stumbling sort of steps that we take? But oftentimes it's the people or events who aggravate us the most who are there to teach us our most important lessons. And so to get to a place of receiving what we need to learn, when what we really want to do is to get as far away as possible from the person or the situation, mm-hmm. that sometimes can be the big challenge, do you think?
I agree. I think anyone that elicits a strong negative response to you can be thought of as a teacher. And I think that we have different kinds of teachers in our lives, and some are teachers through harmony and blessing and just mutual unconditional love. It's easy, and mutual giving and receiving is easy. But some teachers, and sometimes we marry into these, these teaching situations. It's one of your in-laws. It's not somebody you signed up for consciously until after
exactly.
You were well wed. And you said, oh, no, this terrible person is in my life now for the rest of my life.
Right.
What do I do? That person is a teacher. Why do they drive you crazy? And what do they bring up in you that needs healing or tempering? Or how do they reflect something about yourself that you cannot stand and that you need to make peace with and be compassionate to both of you about? So, yes, I think our teachers through friction, we can look back on them later and actually feel a lot of gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
I'm grateful to my next-door neighbor who has got a perfectly despicable personality. And, just custom-written, written to drive me crazy. I can't believe how they got it right, whoever writes characters in heaven. Right? They got this one right to drive me crazy. But I managed to forgive her, little things and big things, and she's turned out to be one of my better stories in my forgiveness workshops. Because
mm-hmm.
everyone knows someone like her. She's kind of mythic in a way.
Really?
Everyone knows someone like her, and they're glad to know that you can make peace. And I still live exactly right next door to her, and I still see her all the time, but nothing rises, the bile does not rise in my throat anymore. I just kind of walk by her like she's a fence post or a squirrel on the tree or something, and like, it doesn't, there's peace. There's really peace.
Yes, and you actually say in your book that when we are faced with these challenges, that the question that we should be asking ourselves is, what am I supposed to be learning from this? Or, the question that goes through my mind is, what purpose does this serve? And I think that's really important, because then we shift right away from being a victim of a circumstance where we feel powerless to being in a place where we are the creators of our life. And we have the choice to respond to the situation the way we choose. So that's a very important question to be asking.
It is. And I think that brings us into the realm of talking about mastery.
Mm-hmm.
The person who not only realizes that they are a student of life and that they are in classrooms, but the person who persistently, consistently is determined to master those lessons one after another and to really be the most elegant version of who we are and in this world, that is the path of self-mastery. And that's beautiful. You know, it's a lot more aesthetically pleasing than being a victim. And so you can take the same exact circumstances and be in it as a victim or be in it as a master in training. And it's a whole different human being that you feel that you are when you stand in those different places.
Yes. And that brings me to a statement that you had in your book that it just jumped out at me. You said, happiness is a matter of personal discipline. What an interesting statement. Let me get your thoughts on that now. I know we're going to have to stop for a break soon, but we'll also pick it up after. What does that mean? Happiness is a matter of personal discipline.
Well, it means that we keep choosing behaviors and attitudes and actions that produce a good effect long term, whether we feel like doing it this minute or not. So we choose to be patient with a child that's having a hard day. Because it's going to be, we're going to like both of us better at the end of the day if we do that. Maybe we're not happy about it. Maybe our personal self wants to stomp out of the room and throw the towel down on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
But no, we choose to take that one extra breath and sink down into the heart and be kind and firm instead of mean and firm. And that brings a byproduct of happiness later.
Wonderful thoughts. We're going to actually take a break now, and when we come back, I'm going to be talking more with Mary Hayes Greco about personal discipline. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Are you a health-conscious, spiritual woman who is just tired of struggling with food obsession, emotional eating, and constantly having to struggle with weight and food? You aren't alone. The secret is within us, often in releasing internal resistance and blocks to our own success. To learn how to end the war with food and your body now and find peace, go to eatlikeagoddess.com for your free audio. Break free from food obsession and lose weight without trying. That is eatlikeagoddess.com.
Successful people accomplish what they set out to do. They make a promise and work hard to keep their word to themselves and to others. Keeping one's word is the simple idea behind a breathtakingly new way to achieve more. Keeping your word is a practice developed by Vladimir Gerasichev, a life coach and business trainer with over 20 years' experience. Visit keepyourword.com to learn more about the transformative technique and check out the free Keep Your Word app. Keeping your word, changing your life forever.
The Michael Shane Show, conversations with the Ascended Masters on Transformation Talk, radio.com, on the third and fourth Monday of every month at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time. To connect with the Ascended Masters and raise your vibration, call in for a live, on-air reading with Michael and the Ascended Masters. Visit michaelshane.com. That's M-Y-C-H-A-E-L, shane.com. Or call 800-508-6437 to schedule a full healing session.
Tune in to Peace World Radio, vibrant conversations to change the world with Christina Jantz, each second Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com and KKNW. This hit show is energetic, vibrant, and an engaging forum that's getting people talking. Christina brings you extraordinary and courageous people, bold in thought, and action who dare to dream that things can be different. Peace World Radio. Join the talk the world is having.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Having trouble keeping up with the accelerated life-altering changes occurring on the planet? The Quantum Vortex is the brainchild of Meg Benedicte, a pioneer in quantum healing and energetic activations. Weaving together ancient spiritual knowledge, quantum physics, and vibrational healing, Meg Benedicte is accelerating change at the cellular level. For more details on private sessions, meditation CDs, downloads, and teleseminars, visit NewEarthCentral.com.
And you're listening to Peace World Radio, Vibrant Conversations to Change the World. I'm Christina Jans, and my guest today is Mary Hayes Greco. Mary, before we continue, I want to make sure that everyone knows how to contact you. Could you give our listeners your website address?
I sure will. It's mary@maryhayesgreco.com.
And we should probably spell
that. Oh, that's my email. I gave you my email. I'm sorry. MaryHayesGreco.com. Or, this is easy to remember, ForgivenessTraining.com.
Oh, there you go. That's easy.
There we go. ForgivenessTraining.com.
Right. Now, before we left for the break, we were talking about happiness and it being a matter of self-discipline. How is personal discipline an act of self-love? This is something you speak of in your book. And why is it one of the best things that we can do for ourselves?
Well, in a way, it's almost a way of parenting ourselves and growing ourselves into the vision of the person that we mean to be. And all of us have habits and behaviors and ways of living that are just not who we mean to be. Be it addiction or impatience or some way of falling short of what we're hoping to accomplish. So discipline comes from the word disciple, and it means basically you're becoming a follower of your own soul's directive. And discipline is something that we do in the short term to produce mastery in the long term. So, you know, we don't feel like going out for our walk to stay healthy and exercise and toned. We feel like slouching around, but we say, oh, but I really will feel better at the end of this week if I get myself out for my walk every day. So you go whether you feel like doing it or not. And so it's really a way of believing in yourself and thinking, you know, you're worth it. I have a client who I work with right now in my private practice who has a tattoo on his arm, and it says, I am worth the effort. And it's nice, beautiful little, you know, cursive writing on his wrist. I am worth the effort. And he came out of a long period of, you know, self-destruction with addiction and drugs and alcohol and whatnot, and he's working hard in his recovery program, and it's not easy. There's a lot of pulls towards just letting go into the old behaviors, but he's reminding himself each day, I'm worth the effort.
Isn't that wonderful? I love that.
Mm-hmm.
And along those lines, one of the things that you have in your book is the Serenity Prayer. And for those of our listeners who may not be familiar with it, it goes like this. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Mary, why is this so important to us on this journey?
Well, I love this prayer because, I come from a 12-step background. I'm a child of an alcoholic and have been in, you know, around 12-step land for a long time. And it's our prayer. It's like this prayer has been uttered millions of times by circles of people around the world in chilly church basements and, there's something really powerful and deep about this prayer, especially when you say it in a group, because it makes you remember that we're all bozos on this bus. We're all struggling along, and we're all trying to discern day by day, all right, listen, do you need to just relax and accept this situation and be trusting, or no, do you need to get motivated and get going and you know, take action. What do you need to do here? And the wisdom to know the difference. The wisdom comes from the soul, from the higher power. It lets us know. And, you know, really when we're being miserable, especially if we're being really miserable for a while, it's usually because we're not accepting things. We're trying to change things that we should be accepting. And we're not changing things that we need to be. We're being lazy about letting some other things just be there that shouldn't be. So it's really a lot in this simple little prayer. And in the piece I wrote about it, I said it's kind of a blend of Eastern Western wisdom, that the Eastern wisdom says, hey, you know, this is it. This is just accept, relax. This is it. There's nothing to change, nothing to do. Just be. And the Western religion is saying, get going, have courage, take action, make yourself, you know, who you want to be. And in the middle, in this very silent, discerning space, is the higher self saying, now this, now this, and guiding us about when to accept and when to step up.
This is, I think this is so critical, what you are, what you're speaking of, you know, because again, in the societies that we live in, the way we have been raised that if something isn't right, we've been told to step up, try harder, do more, don't give up, fix it. And we've been acknowledged and celebrated for these behaviors. So it's counterintuitive, to say the least, to suddenly think, let go, stop trying, and accept.
Well, again, it's the in-breath and the out-breath. We cannot conquer everything. We were talking during the break about my husband's going to have open heart surgery at the end of this week because his valve isn't working. You know, he tried everything to be a healthy person. He eats well. He lives well. He had the bad luck of the bad valve, they say. Mm-hmm. That's mechanical failure. Bad luck. And you can't just conquer certain conditions. You have to surrender to the unfolding of them, of dealing with them. You have to day by day take steps, sometimes through very dark places. So, and this is why people really benefit by having support from other people, circles that they belong to, and the daily practice, daily way of contemplating and asking spirit to guide us, because there are some things we cannot fix, change, or control. And we have to know how to just really be with them in a more soft and yielding way, and finding peace even with, when things are falling apart.
And on the one hand, I think control is a little bit a part of being that disciplined self that you were speaking of earlier. But the flip side of that is being over-controlling can sabotage our very efforts. And sometimes the most magical and creatively, divinely inspiring moments in life happen when we're not in control.
That's true. When there's something else operating that we're able to let go to. And there's a healthy, positive sense of control, I think, that mature people know about and we try and live from. And then there's a healthy, positive sense of letting go when you realize you're over your head and you can't control certain situations. You can't prevent certain things from getting hurt, certain people from getting hurt. It's their life. It's what they're doing. You just have to learn how, you know, what's ours to address and what's ours to compassionately witness. And that's why the Dalai Lama boils it right down to, hey, there's about two things you can do, folks, all of the time, and that is to have compassion and to be kind. That's about it. If you can keep doing that, then you're really bringing quite a blessing to the world.
Yes, and to those areas of our lives where we do not have control, or we realize we don't, is that in a sense what you were speaking of when you were speaking of humility? You know, the coming to that place where you realize you have to let go, and that is, as you say, your rightful place in the universe in that moment. Is that what you were referring to, or is it something else?
Well, I think that certainly is an aspect of each other. They're kind of akin. But humility, in the piece that I wrote in the New Kitchen Mystic about humility, it's really not about necessarily taking a back seat, or we were all taught that being humble is to kind of lower your head and say, oh, no, not me. Let me just step back here. But sometimes humility is stepping forward, and it's stepping forward in a different way than we're talking about in our cultural addiction to, you know, come forward on everything. This is like sometimes it's just yours to say something. It's yours to do something. It's yours to lead something. And it's a form of arrogance not to do that, because life is asking you to step forward. And I speak in another piece in the New Kitchen Mystic about intuition. I think the intuition is so so key to all of this, because this is how our soul guides us. This is how our soul shows us when to step up, when to let go, when to intervene, when to accept. And everyone is intuitive in different ways. But if we follow the intuition day by day, then life has more of a harmonious feel to it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And much more of a feeling, I think, that you are in line with your truth and where you're supposed to be in life.
Mm-hmm.
A higher knowledge that you are connecting with within yourself, not just the rational mind, not just what's right in front of us, but something deeper, more eternal. For me,
that's
I
think our intuition is actually trying to lead us into happiness, into greater happiness. We talked about happiness before a little bit, but I mean, the truth is that we're all certain kind of personalities, certain creatures, if you will. You're a certain kind of a dog or a cat, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so you have a certain nature. A terrier is different than a St. Bernard. And you are different than a different person in terms of what pleases the personality and what elicits the strengths and beauty of your personality and your gifts. And so our intuition is really trying to lead us into the situations and the relationships and the opportunities and the ways of being the best version of ourselves. It's trying to help us be happy.
Beautifully put. We're going to stop for a quick break, and we'll be back with more from Mary Hayes Greco. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Tune in to The Sandy Brewer Show, getting to the heart of what matters in your life. Thursdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. And experience the powerful healing voice of Dr. Sandy Brewer, one of Call-In Talk Radio's most dynamic, compelling personalities. Get ready for inspiration and contagious humor and her been-there, done-that, no-nonsense advice to meet today's challenges.
Listen and call in at 800-930-2819 for The Sandy Brewer Show.
Tune into Intuit University, compassionate guidance, connecting you to your inner wisdom with internationally renowned psychic and medium, Sherry Dillard. Each Thursday at 12 Pacific, 3 Eastern. Get ready for an hour of practical spirituality, fun, and a magic carpet ride into the spirit realm. This hit show is a combination of call-in readings and intuitive mentoring, as Sherry supports, inspires, and empowers you to create your highest good in relationships, career, finances, life purpose, spirituality, and more. For more information, visit SherryDillard.com.
Did anyone teach you to be a parent? What if there were tools that could make your job a whole lot easier? Glenna Rice invites you to be the questionable parent you truly be in a dynamic teleseries designed to empower parents to know that they know and give you the awareness required to create ease and joy between you and your children. Check out GlennaRice.com to learn more and to book a private session, or dial 415-235-2807.
Get ready for Intuitive Solutions with Deborah Diane every Monday at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Transformation Talk Radio. Create your best life by releasing subconscious limiting beliefs and patterns quickly and easily. Each show features a live call-in segment so that you can experience Deborah's intuitive insight and powerful clearing. Deborah's quick wit and spot-on intuition make every show both powerful and fun. For more information, visit ConsciousRepatterning.com.
Hi, I'm Michelle Bond. I'm the Vedic astrologer who shines a light on what you put into your body. Are you sick and tired of taking all the latest vitamins and herbs that promise to make you feel better and have unlimited energy, but find they don't work? The reason they don't is because no two people are alike. There is not one fix for everyone. To find out how I can help you discover what will work for you, go to my website, themichellebondshow.com.
Called the Oprah of radio by her listeners, award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off of traditional talk radio. Get ready for an energizing delivery and powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's fresh, new perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Visit thedrpatshow.com. That's THEDRPatshow.com for listening times in your area.
Welcome back to Peace World Radio. I'm Christina Jans, and I've been having a wonderful conversation on and off air with Mary Hayes Greco about her beautiful book, Kitchen Mysticism. Mary, I want to ask you, what can you give our listeners today in terms of how to go about creating a daily spiritual practice, the different ways that they might do it, and maybe how important it is as well?
Okay. Well, I think it's really important if you want to have a rich and healthy life. I think it's central to me. It's just central. But everyone's different, you know, and people like different things. I have friends who will do half an hour of hatha yoga and before they sit and meditate, and I just can't. I can't stand it. I just, you know, I don't like hatha yoga, you know. I just don't. And I took a real clue from a very holy and connected Swami that I talked to one year in an ashram where I was studying yoga things. And she said, you know, whatever you pick for your spiritual practices, pick the ones you love. Pick a few that you love and don't do the ones that you don't love. So if you don't love sitting and listening to a mantra in your head, don't do it. If you love having a little altar with your favorite statue and a stone and a little candle, do that. If you don't love reading, don't read. But if you love sitting and breathing and talking to spirit and cultivating your ability to sense answers, do that. So I've developed a practice that I love, and that is the first thing is I'm going to have my cup of jasmine green tea. Oh, I love jasmine green tea.
Uh-huh.
And I run downstairs and I make it with great reverence because it's, you know, it's just amazing. And I sit in my favorite chair, and I have my favorite items nearby, and I breathe, and I remember what my current intentions are. What am I about right now? What am I creating in my work life? What kind of attitude am I trying to have in my marriage? What are my intentions? So I would say intention and breathing and doing something that pleases your senses, your sensibilities. And my favorite spiritual practice is to be connected to the wheel of the year and to go and spend some time in nature at solstice and equinox as the seasons turn. I do extra practices around the solstices and equinoxes and go be with the earth and bring little presents to it and listen and receive presents from it. So that would be my favorite. But really the thing is follow your personality's bliss in terms of what you love to do for spiritual practice.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things that I hear, not only in the counseling practice that I have, but just people in life in general speaking about how busy they are and overwhelmed. And I know your life is busy and mine is as well, but I'd love to hear what you think about this, Mary, but I know for myself that I put my daily spiritual practice right at the top of my list of things to do in the course of a day, so much so that I even sometimes get up very, very early in the morning just so that I can have that sacred time, because I know that if I do that, everything else falls into alignment. What would you say to the people who are saying, my life is so busy right now, I can't do one more single thing?
Mm-hmm. Well, I agree with you that it's really important to have it as a daily priority and to have it at the top of the list or as close as you can. Sometimes some people are trundling kids off to school and they, you know, don't have the minute to take too much time. But maybe when they come back from dropping them off at school, they can say, okay, now for me, and sit down for that half an hour and do your practice. But here's my very favorite preservationist practice. It's the beautiful power of subtraction, the beautiful word no, to learn how to say no to the extra stuff that we don't need, to learn how to say no to the cell phone and to the email, and to get offline every now and then, just get offline, you know, a few days and kind of detox from that constant chatter that's going on. And to notice, if we're getting crazy busy, remember, you're the boss of you. You get to say no to some things, and you get to say yes to other things that you're not. And it takes us all a while to learn that, but really, you've got this precious, precious opportunity to be alive and to enjoy this beautiful world and the people that are yours to love. And so I think we have to have boundaries around keeping certain things out that are taking away from that.
Mm-hmm. And on that, you know, I know that a lot of people listening will say, rationally, I totally get it, that saying no is a good thing. It's good to have boundaries, but the guilt comes up,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so what would you say to the people who would be feeling guilty about saying no?
That's a really good point. And long ago, I got some help with that from a teacher who said, you know, you need to learn to say no to people like you were handing them a jewel. You are actually showing them that you trust them to hear no from you. You're actually showing them that you care enough about both of you to take good care of yourself and the relationship. Because if we don't say no, sometimes we resent people. Anytime we've said yes and we've resented afterwards, we've gone past our boundaries. And over time, that's just kind of corrosive to our network and to our sense of self-esteem. So learn to say no to someone like you're handing them the moon, like you're handing them the crown jewel, like, oh, you know, thank you so much for asking me to do that. Of course, you know I love to be with you. At this time, I just am needing to have some quietude. I'm just really needing to say no for this for now. But I hope another time it will work out.
Yes, well, what a jewel of that piece of wisdom is. That's just absolutely beautiful. I've never heard it put that way, Mary. I can't believe it, but we've come to the end of our show already. I want to thank you so much for being here today and sharing kitchen mysticism with us, Mary. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I know you also have a wonderful book out on forgiveness, and that is a show unto itself. It's a huge topic. I'd love to have you back again to talk about that. Shall we make it happen?
We sure shall, and people can find out about both my books on my site.
Okay, great.
ForgivenessTraining.com.
Excellent. And thank you to all of you, our listeners. I hope that the thoughts Mary has shared with us today has given you something meaningful to think about and that will enrich your experience of life and your spiritual journey. Remember to join me every second Monday of the month at 11 a.m. Pacific and 2 p.m. Eastern Time for more vibrant conversations to change the world. And if you'd like to contact me, just go to peaceworldradio.com. While you're there, you can check out our upcoming guests, listen to archive shows, and be sure to follow me on Facebook. I'd love to hear from you. I'm Christina Janz, and this is Peace World Radio. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Peace World Radio, vibrant conversations to change the world with Christina Janz. Tune in each second Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific and 2 p.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com and KKNW for another energetic, vibrant, and engaging show that's getting people talking. Internationally renowned host Christina Janz brings you extraordinary and courageous people who are using their lives to raise the frequency of our world. For more information about Christina and the show, visit peaceworldradio.com and join the talk the world is having.
You're tuned in to Transformation Talk Radio. Think the Dr. Pat shows the cat's meow? Just listen to what some of her transformative guests have had to say.
What's your personal message? What would you like to leave us with?
Believe in yourself always. Remember that you are a gift. You are a miracle. And the only way you can return any part of that gift is what you do with it. Live into yourself. Be that miracle.
I love it. Eldon Taylor, everyone.
And thank you, Pat. I love joining you. You're a wonderful host.
Thank you. And we're going to bring Eldon back because we just haven't even scratched the surface here. Thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on.
Thank you for listening. And keep us tuned in right here on Transformation Talk Radio.
Ugh, aren't you tired of the same old negative vibe?
Hey, Valerie, have you heard about TransformationTalkRadio.com?
No, what's that?
Dr. Pat is launching a new network. And
Dr. Pat! How many hours is she going to be on?
It won't be all Dr. Pat. She'll be joined by her friends, transformative hosts from around the globe. TransformationTalkRadio.com is a 24/7 network.
24 hours of Dr. Pat and her guests?
No, 24 hours of Dr. Pat and her hosts.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. Where's it going to be broadcast?
You're going to be able to hear her in Seattle, Boston, Connecticut, New York, Rhode Island, on over 300 cable radio stations, and on the internet everywhere. Listen live at TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Great, we should spread the word.
Absolutely, spread the word. Go to TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Stop. Get out of that car. Stop living your life in the passenger seat. Tune in to TransformationTalkRadio.com and let us help you drive.
Transform your life.
Transformation, transformation, transformation talk radio. Transformation, transformation, transformation talk radio.